The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. And I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. It's really tough to get to this point. And that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks.
I wouldn't pay much attention to it. I think frustration, disappointment, hurt, pain, all were in that that sound bite. Look, there's no way the Packers would do anything to jeopardize losing Aaron. Unless Aaron just chooses to retire, which I would be shocked. The guy's playing better now than he's ever played. And without him, you certainly wouldn't have been even close to where you were yesterday. And I think the same will go for next year. And is really the next few years if he chooses to play. I wouldn't pay much attention to what he said.
It's going up on a Tuesday. This convo is going to be personal for Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, Marcus Spears. Always good to see you. I'm Molly Karam Rose. Guys, you know exactly where I'm going to go.
Molly?
Aaron Rodgers' predecessor, Brett Favre. Oh, go ahead, Stephen A.
Is that swagoo? Is that swagoo?
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
Yes.
I don't know if y'all were watching NFL Live yesterday. I mean, they were talking some blasphemy until I sat up there and tweeted, smoke. Like, I'm watching you on Dan Olasky. I'm watching y'all. I'm just saying.
Anytime. Anytime.
All right. You know, goggles, bionic glasses on.
Anytime.
All right. Don't be calling out everybody. Be calling
I want
out
these
everybody.
Glasses because last time you made jokes about them, I think they fly, so I'm going to wear them.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, Marcus, I'm on your team. I'm with you.
They filter
not
out the blue light,
you know,
right?
Ma, you're the only one right, on this panel I don't have to worry about. Everybody else switch up. I don't have to worry about you switching up.
Facts. Consistent. I try to be. All right, guys, let's go here. Stephen A., I want to start with you. Aaron Rodgers' predecessor, Brett Favre, he's not buying it. He says there's no way the Packers aren't going to let him go and that, you know, Aaron's just kind of emotional. It's disappointment. All that kind of stuff is talking. Should we care what Brett Favre has to say on the subject?
Not really. Not really. Because Brett Favre would have no idea what he's talking about with all due respect in regards to this because he has not been Aaron Rodgers. If you recall, Brett Favre, a Super Bowl champion, one of the great quarterbacks to have ever lived, and actually a really, really nice guy, I'd like to add that as well. Brett Favre never received the treatment that Aaron Rodgers has received. Brett Favre was playing with Reggie White and those boys. Brett Favre once had Sterling Sharp as his receiver. And by the way, for those out there who forget who Sterling Sharp was, excuse me, Randy Moss is the second greatest receiver of all time. Jerry Rice is obviously number one. We put people like Terrell Owens up in there and what have you. Sterling Sharp, go back and watch the videotapes. Go back and watch how this brother performed in Green Bay. If this brother hadn't had, I think it was his neck injury, if we're correct,
neck
if
injury.
I'm wrong, Marcus Spears. Sterling Sharp was one of the great, great receivers the game of football has ever seen. Brett Favre had that brother to throw to for a few years. Brett Favre had that guy, if I remember correctly, but he also had others, okay? In the end, Brett Favre was treated like a godlike figure in Green Bay. He could do no wrong, even with the media. We have people, even on this network, oh, look at Brett Favre jump into the arms of his offensive lineman. Oh, look at him sit up there and throw the ball underhand. It's the kid in him. It's never left. I mean, the fawning by reporters, pundits, commentators all over the place. It was just nauseating to take. That kind of stuff, that kind of treatment that Brett Favre received is completely the antithesis of what Aaron Rodgers has had to endure. Aaron Rodgers has been underappreciated. Aaron Rodgers has not received the respect and the deference from the Green Bay Packers organization that he deserves. And as a result, that is why Brett Favre, I say respectfully, in this particular situation, he wouldn't know what he's talking about, because the level of frustration that Aaron Rodgers has had to endure playing and working for and starring for this organization, holding it on his shoulders, literally and figuratively, Brett Favre never had to deal with that level of disrespect. So he is right about the emotional aspect of Aaron Rodgers. But in terms of how palpable it can end up being, how significant it can end up being, I don't think that Brett Favre is really measuring this to the degree that it deserves. Aaron Rodgers ain't just frustrated in the moment. It's a long, ongoing thing where the level of respect that he has warranted and deserved has not been granted to him. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if he sat up there and said, look, I don't want to be here any longer.
There is literally not a person who ever lived who is in a better position to say, to comment on Aaron Rodgers than Brett Favre. Stephen A., Brett Favre was once upon a time in the exact same position as Aaron Rodgers. He's the longtime great quarterback, Super Bowl winning quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. They drafted his successor in Brett Favre's case in the first round at a time where he still had plenty left in the tank. Did Favre have great receivers? Yeah. Let's not understate just because the position they were drafted, who Rodgers has had, Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings and Devontae Adams, these guys can ball, as could Favre, as could Rodgers. If you don't think that we should, there's any value in what Brett Favre is saying, to me, the only way that could be is if you think Favre is coming in with a real agenda. Like he's there to kind of down Aaron Rodgers or throw some shade or subtle shade at Rodgers. That doesn't seem to me to be what he's doing. He's a dude who was in that exact position once upon a time. For, by the way, when you talk about America's team, and you could say the Cowboys because of Tex Schramm and the PR job they've done, or the New England Patriots because of all the success for all those years, I would say the Green Bay Packers are a great choice. Play in the middle of the country, the team of Vince Lombardi, you had just a handful of like great quarterbacks. They passed the torch one to another. They're owned by the town, basically. Like and so Favre has insight into that unique situation in a way no one else would into Aaron Rodgers' situation. I really value what Favre has to say here. And the other thing about Brett Favre is, as a commentator, for lack of a better word, he's got a little Charles Barkley in him. He's got a ton of credibility. And he says what he thinks, even if it sounds kind of off the wall sometimes, he doesn't care because he knows what he's talking about. He was there for two decades. I think that Favre's commentary on Rodgers is extremely valuable. And if you look at what Rodgers just did, 13 games in a playoff win with the Packers, first year of a new head coach, learning the system, didn't look as great as he normally looks. Wins the MVP, looks as good or better than ever. Wins two playoff games, almost gets to the Super Bowl now that he knows the new coach's system. I think when Favre says he's good where he is, he should stay. He knows what he's talking about.
So what? Nobody care about what Brett Favre talking about. He has no idea what Aaron Rodgers is thinking and want to do. Aaron Rodgers just lost to a quarterback that left New England, went to Tampa Bay, and beat him in the NFC Championship. So there is a football element. He's 1-4 in NFC Championships. 1-4, one Super Bowl over that career. So, look, Aaron Rodgers could look at this and say, look, I know Green Bay can be a good football team. I know that we've been where we've been, but we hadn't got to where I needed to get to in order to be in this conversation to be the greatest of all time. Number one, that's something you've said, Max Kellerman. The second thing is, Brett Favre, might I add, went and played for the Minnesota Vikings. And I understand how that dynamic played out at the end of his career, but nobody would have ever thought that that would happen. Nobody ever thought Tom Brady would leave. Nobody ever thought Joe Montana would leave. And I'm not talking about them being free agents or the end of their contract. They wanted something different. Could it be as simple as Aaron Rodgers has been there 16 years, giving you all he's had, and now he wants something new? He wants to go try to win a Super Bowl somewhere else? Could it be just that? Could it be to the points that Stephen A. made, that they haven't really surrounded him with the type of talent? Look what Tampa did for Tom Brady this year. That's why they playing the Super Bowl in Tampa. Aaron Rodgers is looking at that. So, look, Seattle drafted DK Metcalf for Russell Wilson. all of this stuff that Aaron Rodgers has been watching from a football standpoint could weigh into this decision. But for me, listening to him being really reflectionary.
You're arguing.
Can I finish, Marcus, Max?
You're arguing. Go ahead. Sorry.
You saying you giving validity to what Brett Favre said. You didn't make any wrong points about him knowing Green Bay, being in that. He's not in the same situation, though, Max. This is not the same NFL Brett Favre played in. He has to realize that, just like all of us have to realize that. It's pointless to talk about Aaron Rodgers and the lure of the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers know that's a hell of a franchise. He already know all of that stuff you just said. Him wanting to leave, I would believe, has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with starting fresh and trying to go win a Super Bowl somewhere else.
You are talking about whether or not Brett Favre is right, and you're entitled to your opinion. The question is, should we care about what Brett Favre says? Stephen A. is saying no. I'm saying yes, we should care what he says. He has insight. And even if you're like, look at him, he's a hypocrite or whatever, he left. Maybe he learned from that and thought, maybe I shouldn't have left. Number one. Number two, he didn't exactly leave on his own terms. They had Aaron Rodgers. He'd been holding the clipboard for years. He was ready. He kind of got ushered out, as opposed to Rodgers, where they drafted his replacement, but his replacement's not ready to take over yet. Listen. So either Favre feels like, I've learned from my mistakes, or I wish I could have done things differently, or he's just opining about this. At any rate, the longtime Super Bowl champion quarterback who was once in Rodgers' position, I care what he has to say about it.
Well, listen, you care, but let me hold on, Spence. First of all, you care, and you're articulating the very reason why no one should care about what the hell you have to say, because you're ignoring the very big point that I tried to make about Brett Favre. I'm not calling him a hypocrite or going in that direction. I'm saying, excuse me, this is an organization that treated him with a level of deference and respect they have never given to Aaron Rodgers. And if you've been there as a starter for 13 years, you've won a Super Bowl title, you're universally recognized as one of the top two talents in the history of the sport, and the organization drafts your successor, never drafts a first-round pick as a wide receiver, never uses a first-round pick on a wide receiver, doesn't give you the cachet that you think you so richly deserve. Brett Favre is in no position to sit up there and say, I just think he's being a little bit emotional and this will pass and that's it. No, because you have to go through that, Brett Favre. He didn't. Brett Favre didn't do that even when they drafted Aaron Rodgers. Let me bring in someone who remembers this situation very well about players getting drafted over other players and
football expert here, my guy, Mel Kiper Jr. Mel, do we have you here? Because we want you to.
There he is, Mel.
Can you please weigh in on this and calm these people down?
Yeah, Mel wants to get in.
Marcus, my man. That's my man. I've been arguing with Marcus for the last 2 hours, it seems like, on this. You know, Swagoo, you become Scooby Dooby Doo. It's laughable. It's laughable, this whole talk about Brett Favre and talking about with Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers should be out of Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers is going to leave Green Bay. And why he should be leaving Green Bay. Like Scooby Doo, Swagoo, it's laughable.
Mel Kiper, let me ask you a question. How many sets did you get on and say Tom Brady wouldn't leave New England?
Oh, I didn't ever said that. I never said that. He wouldn't leave New England.
So based on what you're saying about Aaron Rodgers, you would have said the same thing about Tom Brady, right?
Yeah, there's a time, Mark. There's a time for everything.
Yes.
And a time for Aaron Rodgers to leave Green Bay.
It's not the time for Aaron Rodgers. How in the hell do you and Max Kellerman not know if it's the time for Aaron Rodgers?
Exactly.
How do y'all know that?
If Green Bay lets Aaron Rodgers go, something's wrong.
It ain't about Green Bay.
That's not what we're saying, Mel.
It's not about Green Bay.
It is what it is. He's under contract at a Green Bay.
We know that, Mel. We know that, Mel. What we're talking about, first of all, we were commenting about Favre saying, no way Packers risk losing Aaron Rodgers, which we all concede.
I agree with Brett.
But what we were talking about yesterday, and which led to this particular subject, is the fact that Aaron Rodgers should want out. because of the manner in which he's been treated by this organization. It does get to a point, Mel, where you should want a new beginning. That's all we're saying.
He was drafted in the first round when they had Brett, and Brett was playing great football, and he sat for 3 years. Let Jordan sit for 3 years, and then Aaron could step in. It's
Mel
the
Kiper.
Same scenario.
Mel Kiper.
Aaron dealt with Favre. Now Aaron's dealing with
Hold on, Mr.
Love.
Football.
Make it
Mel.
Work.
Mel, you know college football a hell of a lot better than me. I don't know it on my pinky. You know more on your pinky than I know on my whole body about college football. I'm sorry. They sat up there, and Aaron Rodgers threw to Tavon Austin 2 passes. It was the first time he threw to a first-round pick as a wide receiver. That's number one. Number two, you look at some of the things that have transpired with them and the weapons, how he's been bereft of weapons. You know that, right. Mel. They should have done a better job in that. And you know he wanted that. It does get to a point
weapons.
Where he said enough's enough.
Jordan Love was a decent pick. They can get a receiver. And you think about the second-round receivers this year were spectacular. They're going to get him another receiver. My point is you cannot part ways with Aaron Rodgers now. In 2 years, 3 years, remember, Jordan Love had no preseason games, okay? This buildup wasn't normal, so it's almost kind of a write-off
year. We know they
year.
Shouldn't so, let him go. We know they should have let go. What we're saying is Aaron Rodgers should want to leave. We know the Packers don't need to lose
a few plays away from the Super Bowl.
No,
they were
no,
just a few Jordan plays Love away from history. The Super Bowl.
So three times he's been just a few plays away. And he watched the quarterback leave New
so
England.
So who's that on?
Come to Tampa Bay
Aaron had the ball. Hey, guys,
and go to
Aaron
the Super
had the
Bowl.
Ball, Aaron had the ball on two drives, after an interception of Brady by Mackenzie Alexander. He had the ball on two drives, down 28-23 with a chance to win it. He didn't get it done. Okay.
And so you support LaFleur's decision?
Goal, but he had two shots there, and he had a third shot when he had to settle for the field goal.
So, Mel Kiper, you support Matt LaFleur's decision to not go for it on fourth and goal?
Mel. Stephen, I said he had two shots and he couldn't move the ball.
I understand.
The last shot, he got down there and he should have had one more play. I would have gone for it on that fourth down.
That's all we're saying.
Taking a field goal. I'm just saying Rodgers had three shots late to get a touchdown and win it. They couldn't do it. Aaron wants to go back and get it done.
Aaron had the ball
three times, couldn't get a touchdown.
I'm going to break my camera. I'm going to break my camera if somebody else say Green Bay shouldn't let Aaron Rodgers go. We know that. Everybody knows that. He about to be the league MVP. We know that. This is about Aaron Rodgers and if he wants to stay in Green Bay. I don't feel like he does.
No,
you
he's
feel
not.
Like he does,
Marcus.
Mel.
He's
you
under
feel
like it's about if Favre. It's about if you care about what Favre had to say about it. Favre is the only person on planet Earth who's been in a position almost identical to Aaron Rodgers with this team. They drafted his replacement in the first round when he had plenty left in the tank. The difference is, at this moment, Rodgers is not being shown the door. Favre was shown the door. Like, and so Favre is saying, as a guy who left, who was shown the door who left, hey, I think, given Rodgers' position, where they're not saying, hey, leave yet, he should stay where he is. By the way, guys, they're doing better every year. They won a playoff game last year. They won 13 games and 2 playoff games this year. They don't have to worry about draft capital on a quarterback anymore. Jordan Love's not ready. Why would we not care what Favre has to say unless you think he has an agenda?
And the last thing, guys, for me is they knew internally that Aaron Rodgers was ready. They knew he was ready to replace Brett Favre. Jordan Love cannot be ready. They didn't have a normal build-up to the season. It's a completely different situation with Brett and Aaron we're dealing with as opposed to what Aaron and now Jordan Love are dealing with.
All we're saying is that we all know that the Packers would be absolute fools to let go of Aaron Rodgers, and we know that's not going to happen. The issue is Aaron Rodgers wanting to be gone. Is he justified in wanting to be gone? And when you look at his history with the Green Bay Packers in terms of requests that he's made, things that he's wanted, things that have not been obliged, how he's been. I know personally, I know what I was told. This man years ago, this wasn't immediately, it was years ago. He was told to shut up, go play football. We make the decision, you go out there on the field. He was summarily dismissed, and the treatment accorded to him compared to that of Brett Favre was night and day. And so when you couple that with the decisions that they've made lately, it's like, yo, okay, I did what I came to do. And to take the ball out of my hands on a fourth and goal and elect to give the ball back to Tom Brady when all Tom Brady needs is a first down or two to seal a deal. Not a field goal, not a touchdown, but a first down or two. It's the ultimate insult. I tell him to kick rocks. I'd pull a Deshaun
Stephen
Watson.
A.
I want the hell
Stephen
out. That's a. all I'm saying.
Stephen A. This man just watched Tom Brady leave New England go to a 7-9 football team and he beat him to go to the Super Bowl. He just watched that. So if, pardon me, if the thought it shouldn't creep in his mind that he can go get it done somewhere else, and it may be time for a fresh start. Maybe that's far-fetched. I don't think it is.
Aaron Rodgers got it done in Green Bay. He's had more chances to get it done in Green Bay. Are they the best organization in football? No, but they're far from the worst. They're a highly competent organization, obviously. They're getting closer and closer, and had he played a little better in high-leverage moments, they would have beaten the Bucs, and he didn't. The coach's decision was awful. That doesn't change the fact that what Mel Kiper referred to moments ago. He had chances. He didn't get it done. Maybe his chances improve somewhere else. But for Brett Favre to sit there and say, hey, you guys don't really know what's going through Aaron Rodgers' mind. He's emotional after a loss. I think when he calms down a little bit and sees the situation, he's going to want to come back. And furthermore, he should come back. That's Favre's opinion, and I put stock in it.
All right, gentlemen. We good?
Well,
right.
Max
are
got,
you not
I mean,
entertained?
Max,
I don't know where you
Max,
can find Molly, better
Max,
debate.
Max
maybe
got,
a presidential
Max got
election,
the last
but
word. We know how important that is to him, so that's what today. We wanted to do. Max, we know how important that is to Max, so we wanted to be quiet and just make sure he had the last word, the period. The period and the walk-off.
Oh, my goodness.
That's very important to Max.
Yeah.
Even though no one cares.
Same dude. I want to remind everybody.
What up, Marcus?
Molly, before we end this, I want to remind everybody. Max Kellerman is the same dude that was screaming the Packers should have drafted a wide receiver. He was the same dude screaming that during the draft. I'm going to leave that on the table. I got the damn last word.
That's fair.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Love the hair flip. Stephen A. especially loves it. Fresh off the presses, everyone. Here's Mel Kiper's first mock of the 2021 NFL Draft. Can't believe it's almost here. No surprise at number one with the Jags taking Trevor Lawrence. Then two teams from the AFC East bulking up their receiving core. The Jets with Devontae Smith. Dolphins taking Ja'Marr Chase. The next quarterback off the board is at number four. Atlanta taking BYU's Zach Wilson. And two more quarterbacks go in the top 10. Justin Fields to Detroit at number seven. And Trey Lance, number eight overall, to Carolina. This is a record amount of quarterbacks going in the top 10 in a while, Mel Kiper Jr. Here he is,
Molly,
right now joining us. Yes, Stephen A., sure.
I apologize. Usually I'd let you lead off this conversation, but forgive me. I'm a bit agitated, Molly. I'm a bit agitated.
Why?
Mel Kiper Jr. was supposed to come in on this segment, Max and Molly, but he insisted on coming in on the last segment because he wanted to jump in on that Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre discussion, Green Bay Packers, right? And I recall during his brilliant soliloquy, because Mel Kiper Jr. is always brilliant, I detect a little of a slippage there. Max, did I hear him correctly? Did Mel Kiper Jr. not say the wide receiver is not a big deal? They could have always gotten a wide receiver later on in the draft. But two of the top three picks
two guys going
in his
high
mock draft are wide receivers. Can you explain that, Mel Kiper Jr.? How is it that all of a sudden that the wide receivers are so necessary in this draft at two and three, but you just finished saying it's no big deal. You could get a wide receiver later on.
Did you say that?
The things that you read into, Stephen A., is amazing. I didn't mean anything. All I said was when they picked Jordan Love last year, it made sense at the point where they took him over a wide receiver. Jordan Love is the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers, obviously there. But this year, you have an option. You need a corner as well. Keep in mind, there was a little bit of an issue covering Tampa Bay's receivers in that game from a cornerback standpoint with Kevin King, who could be moving on as well. So you think about corner, wide receiver. I got it. I'm with you. There's no question they could take a receiver. Terrace Marshall Jr., LSU, somebody like that, late first round. No doubt Rashad Bateman, Minnesota would make sense. So I'm with you on that. But in terms of Aaron Rodgers, to me, this is completely different than what Aaron did with Brett. Aaron was 3 years sitting. Jordan is only one, and it was an interrupted season, obviously. It didn't even start normally with no preseason action, no preseason game. So I think it's premature for this whole Aaron Rodgers talk of him leaving Green Bay. Next year, maybe a different discussion. And in the game against Tampa, I think Aaron wants to come back. He had three shots to get that touchdown, didn't get it done. Come back with the Packers with an improved cast around you after this draft and free agency and have another opportunity to win that second Super Bowl.
Good way to defend yourself, Mel. Stephen A. is like a hypocrisy hunter. He's always trying to call people out, holding old takes. The man remembers everything, even
old
from
takes.
The earlier block.
He just said it a few minutes ago.
I just said it.
Hey, Molly, it was fair. I bring Stephen A. on a Darian Mel show on Saturdays to talk about some of the things that I hear him say. So it goes both ways here. Yeah. I'll get him. I'll get him, Molly. Believe me, I'll get him again.
Keep a notebook, Mel.
I do as well.
Let's get to the first overall pick, though. Trevor Lawrence going to the Jags. Bottom line, what are they getting with that pick?
They're hoping a generational quarterback who's the John Elway, you know, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck of this draft. It's been targeted to be number one since he was in high school. And, he didn't play great against Ohio State or last year against LSU in the championship game. But this year they had lost four starting offensive linemen that were there the previous year, weren't there, and the two top receivers. So I think you look at Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be expected to be. Let's face facts. That's why Urban Meyer's their head coach. It's because of Trevor Lawrence. If he's not the number one pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars, Urban Meyer's probably not their head coach. So he's going there knowing that I got a head start on everybody with this generational franchise quarterback, Trevor Lawrence.
Getting back to Stephen A.'s point, because I think there's actually truth there, Mel. We've seen so many great wide receivers taken not high in the first round. Michael Thomas, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, et cetera, right? You got two guys in the top three, but Chase right under Devontae. Like, how good is Chase? Is there a big fall off between two and three? Because you got them both in the top three.
They're both elite, and they're both A.J. Green, Julio Jones, both out of the SEC. These two kids, both out of the SEC right there. You talk to some people that like Chase, some people like Smith. What hurt Jamar Chase is not playing when Devontae went out and was spectacular and improved dramatically. Late one last year, goes back and becomes the second pick overall. Jamar Chase had a play this year. It might have been different, but Jamar Chase sat out. Obviously, no Burrow, no supporting cast around him. Who knows what would have happened with his season? He is a great player. If you go back to 2019, Jamar Chase is spectacular. Devontae was unbelievable this year at Alabama. That's why I think he gets maybe that slight edge. But believe me, guys, this is 1 and 1A. This is a dual heat. This is too tough to call. This is another affirmed alley dar with Devontae Smith and Jamar Chase.
Listen, in your mock draft, you've got Zach Wilson at number four going to Atlanta. Why is that not Justin Fields there? Can you explain?
The overall season, Stephen A., is all it's about. This is Mach 1.0. It's not Mach 5.0. So let's not write it in pen quite yet. This could change between now and there's still a process to play out. But Zach didn't have that hiccup. Justin Fields had a couple. The Indiana game, the Northwestern game, I'm not going to worry about championship game. He wasn't healthy. But the bottom line is Zach Wilson can spin it. He's athletic. He had an unbelievable year, granted against cupcake after cupcake. I said his sugar levels were awful high this year with all those cupcakes he was playing. But in terms of Zach Wilson, right now just a slight edge over Justin Fields. And I think by the time we get to late April, may flip. Maybe Justin Fields is ahead of Zach. But right now, when you talk to people in the league, Zach Wilson just slightly over Justin Fields. I had one GM that I respect probably as much as anybody tell me Fields may go a little bit ahead of Wilson, but I went with Wilson just right now. That gut feel you have based on the consistency he had from the first game to the last.
rounding out your top five, you have Sewell, the offensive tackle, going to the Bengals, which makes sense. You have your quarterback. Now you have your blindside protection. How does he compare? I know Quentin Nelson's a guard, but that's the last guy who came out really high, and I was like, oh, my God, that's a franchise offensive lineman, right? How does he compare to a guy? I know there's slightly different positions, but both on the O-line. How does he compare to a guy like Quentin Nelson in terms of impact he can make right away?
You should think, Maxie, he was going to be like the old days with Orlando Pace and Tony Baselli and Jonathan Ogden and Walter Jones and Jake Long, all the great offensive linemen that in those days were going 1-2 in the draft. And that's what the Penei Sewell will be expected to be. You saw the signs in the stands at those Bengal games late in the year. They all want Sewell. They thought at 5 we probably won't get him. We needed to pick 2-3. Now we're at 5. Well, I think they can still get him possibly at 5 with those receivers and all those quarterbacks getting pushed up like they always do, particularly the quarterbacks. That's why Penei Sewell, an outstanding left tackle, who opted out, didn't play this year, will be maybe the 5th pick overall to the Cincinnati Bengals.
All right, Mel Kiper Jr., record-breaking 5 quarterbacks in his top 15. That's only happened one other time back in 1999. See, I'm keeping track, too. Mel Kiper, you're the best. We'll talk to you soon, sir. Stay safe.
Thanks, Molly. Take care.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Torching the Cavs last night, his former team putting up 46-8-6. He also made 19 of his 26 shots and 7 of 11 from three-point range. Still the king. Looking at the best records in the NBA, the Lakers show are on top and the favorites to win it again. Kawhi and the Clippers are still chasing them at number 2. The Sixers are the top team in the East, but the superstar trio in Brooklyn are climbing. Max Kellerman. Who's under the most pressure to knock off LeBron and the Lakers?
Kevin Durant, clearly. I mean, when KD got to Brooklyn with Kyrie, you know, the mandate was to get to the finals at least. But then they added James Harden. James Harden, who, by the way, rolled out of bed, showed up fat and out of shape, and gave him 30 points, a triple-double with 30 points. I mean, game one, and was winning with KD. And then the question was Kyrie even going to be there? Is he self-destructing? And then Kyrie's back. I mean, if you have an MVP with another MVP and a third all-star plus kind of player, that is a big three. And in fact, it's a big three in the absence of any other big three in the league. There's no other big three in the league. You know what happens when you put a big three together and there's no other big three? You got to at least get to the finals. That's the history of the NBA. Got to get to the finals. Now, you could say, well, KD already beat LeBron in the finals, but everyone knows what that was. LeBron James led a team against a 73-win Warriors team, went to Oracle on the road, wins a Game 7 against the same team that had just beaten a loaded Thunder team that KD was on. KD and the Warriors looked at each other and said, this dude, this LeBron dude, got together, and at that point, everyone in the world knew there's nothing you could do to stop him. It's not a level playing field. It's impossible to beat that team. So what? KD has two wins in the finals over LeBron. There's no way not to on that Warriors team. This is different. Now KD's like, okay, watch this. He made a courageous decision. I'm going to go somewhere, put together a team like LeBron does, and meet this dude head on. You have James Harden and Kyrie Irving, and you're Kevin Durant, who joined the 73-win team to beat LeBron. There is no more pressure on any player to knock LeBron off his throne than there is on Kevin Durant.
Max Kellerman, I don't, at this point, disagree with you. I know I'm supposed to, but I don't at this point disagree with you, particularly since James Harden arrived. What I would tell you, however, because James Harden arrived and they had won two straight and James Harden was averaging 34 and did the triple-double and him and KD came out the blocks vibing and then Kyrie came back and they lost back-to-back games to Cleveland, even though he was averaging, he's averaging 28 points a game. He averaged 37 and a half in those two games. He shot twice as much as James Harden. What I would say to you is that I don't disagree with you about Kevin Durant, but I can't let Kawhi Leonard off the hook, y'all. I really, really have a problem. And don't get me wrong, I don't mean have a problem. Kawhi's a good guy. Kawhi's a star. He plays on both ends of the floor. I'm only speaking in purely basketball sense. Kawhi is in L.A. Kawhi came to L.A. as a champion out of Toronto saying, there's a new sheriff in town. They marketed Kawhi Leonard as being the new sheriff in town. You had the king's crown dangling from his convertible, okay, driving down the highway in L.A. knowing LeBron was in town. That's what you came to town to say. That's what you came to town to claim, okay? And then LeBron answered the call. They handled their business in the first two rounds. They went to the conference finals, was waiting for you. You had a 3-1 lead. You lost to the Denver Nuggets. I'm sorry, I can't let Kawhi Leonard off the hook. Kawhi Leonard is a superstar in this game as a player. He's not superstar box office, but he's a superstar as a player. You in the same town, playing in the same arena. You got the Clippers to make all these concessions so you can have your man Paul George, who's giving you 23 a night, by the way. You averaging 26 a game, 26-5-5, shooting better than 50% from the field. Y'all on a 7-game winning streak. Y'all 13-4 on the season. This is what you bring to the table. I can't be looking at Kevin Durant in Brooklyn and just gloss over the fact that Kawhi Leonard was. That's why Steve Ballmer and Lawrence Frank and at the time Doc Rivers and everybody went all in on this move. And all of a sudden, because James Harden arrives in Cleveland, we got to ignore Kawhi Leonard. And what the hell you supposed to bring to the table before the final?
Well,
I got news for you, Max. Correct me if I'm wrong. Somewhat rhetorical question. If LeBron and them can't get past the Clippers, there ain't no finals for L.A., right? So KD wouldn't have that much to worry about, right? And ain't there somebody that's supposed to be standing in LeBron's way to prevent him from being in the NBA finals? Isn't that supposed to be Kawhi Leonard? That's all I'm saying.
You, by the way, you said, I know you meant Brooklyn. You said Cleveland. You meant Harden.
I meant Brooklyn.
But let's talk about that for a second. I respect what you're saying because Kawhi was the guy who threw down the challenge. LeBron was like, come play with me. And Kawhi said, no, I'm coming for you. And didn't even hold up his end of the deal by getting there. And he did not play well in game 7, particularly late in the game. I'm not letting him off the hook either.
He was off the hook. We have to be honest about what happened.
Kawhi, until that moment, Kawhi was once again magnificent in the playoffs. Until that Game 7, he was the Finals MVP, who was the best player in the playoffs by far last year without LeBron, or 2 years ago without LeBron in the league, came back and was magnificent, but he choked under in that Game 7. I'm not letting him off the hook for that either. But who's he playing with? Like, he's on a real good team, and Paul George's a real good player. But Paul George ain't an MVP. Forget about the fact that Paul George doesn't show up in the playoffs. Paul George ain't KD. Like, LeBron's playing with AD. That would be like if Kawhi played with KD. Give Kawhi KD and now let's talk. Or Or if you want to look at KD, who I'm saying there's more pressure on, and I know you agree with that, to beat LeBron, even though you're not letting Kawhi off the hook. I get it. KD is playing with Harden and Kyrie. Give Kawhi Steph Curry and Damian Lillard, or Steph Curry and someone on that level. That's what KD's got. That's not what Kawhi's got. Let's not get it bent, Stephen A. Let's not get it twisted. LeBron's got AD. KD's got Harden and Kyrie. And the fact of the matter is,
I'm not disagreeing.
This dude, Kawhi, has Paul George, who's not on those guys' levels,
Harden or AD.
He's not on their levels, but especially
you would have
under
a point.
Pressure.
You would have a point if they didn't lose a 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets and give up 40 to Jamal Murray in Game 7. It ain't just about Kawhi on the offensive end. Kawhi Leonard was known as one of the elite defenders. None of them wanted a part of Jamal Murray. He dropped 40 in a Game 7 at the same time they disappeared. I'm sorry, I can't let Kawhi Leonard off the hook on that. You in L.A. for a reason. Handle your business. We want to see LeBron versus Kawhi Leonard. Where's that confrontation? Kawhi Leonard owes us that. LeBron doesn't. He held up his end of the bargain. Where's Kawhi? Where is he? That's what I want to see before you get to KD.
All right. According to Caesars in Vegas, Lakers have the best odds, followed by the Nets and the Clippers.